supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O Most Merciful of the Merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Rabitu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Rabitu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty, Salamun Alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about courage and bravery in Islam. I invite all of you to be with us. Today, Wednesday, is the 18th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Surah Yusuf, verse 53, we choose to listen to. Please.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَمَا نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم.
And I do not acquit myself. Indeed, the soul is a persistent enjoiner of evil, except those upon which my Lord has mercy. Indeed, my Lord is forgiving and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One should never admire himself immaculate and free of blame, excusing oneself of faults. Only Allah's grace is the source of salvation. Once man is left to himself, he will collapse. The dangers that are engendered by the self are very grave. Do not regard them as simple. Despite all the dangers which may be surrounding you, you do not despair of Allah's grace. One of the conditions of perfection is that one should not consider himself perfect, although everyone else might regard him as such.
My heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you, is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so.
This is today's special on courage and bravery in Islam. The very basis of the courage of the faithful is the love and fear of Allah and their rendering sincere effort to earn His good pleasure. For that reason, their courage in fulfilling the requirements of morality is not depend on specific circumstances. In all conditions, a believer retains the courage that results from trusting in Allah. As for the courageous acts of unbelievers, these are carried out solely for their own gain or their worldly ambitions. Therefore, those who are removed from the light of the Holy Quran apply what they deem as courage to the wrong situations. In matters where true courage is required, they may actually falter. As such, the courage they usually exemplify is of little purpose and of no benefit to themselves with regards to the hereafter.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to be brave in Islam. I mean, and in this connection, we are going to consider various aspects of braveness or bravery according to Islamic teachings. Those people who are brave, I mean, personalities, those people who are brave personalities, they are always logical and they take the right decisions. In books of Islamic ethics, for example, in the book Jama' al-Sa'adat of Naraqi, it's indicated that braveness means making use of the energy provided by the faculty of anger. All people may get angry, yet to make use of the force and energy provided by the faculty of getting angry, but using it in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is really a very praiseworthy characteristic and moral qualification. According to Naraghi in his book Jama Saadat, braveness is the middle scale on the line or on the continuum of anger. At the same time, we find that those people, I mean, according to the Holy Quran, those people who are brave, first of all, they have got faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do whatever they wish simply because of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Allah. And they know that absolute belief in the helpfulness and in the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a ground for the attaining and achieving high and very suitable aims.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Today, on this episode of Today's a Special, we'll look at other kind of courage. Intellectual courage. Intellectual courage is the willingness to learn and expand our horizons. This is a type of courage that's in decline in a world where everyone is retreating into information bubbles, overdosing on confirmation bias, and embracing cancel culture. People with intellectual courage are willing to have their minds change in the face of facts and rebate despite the vulnerability, having their views undermined by new information. As with all types of courage, there need to be vulnerability here, that you may come up across uncomforting information in order for this to be considered a form of courage.
واشتد على العزيمة جوانه واشتد على العزيمة جوانه قم فعلا خدمتك جواره.
Tips to liberate yourself from fear. Today's tip is avoiding things that make you angry. Fear and anger go hand in hand. He who can overpower others in wrestling is not really a strong man. True strength is in that individual who can control himself at the time of anger. Remember that anger stems from fear and a sense of helplessness, writes Dr. Tom G. Stevens in his book, You Can Choose to Be Happy. You may not want to admit feeling hurt or fear. You may think such admission is a sign of weakness. Yet these are the underlying feelings that will help you identify which values and goals are being threatened. Dear listener, stay informed. Ignorance increases fear. It may also make you fearful of the wrong things, thereby placing you in more danger. Turn off the TV. If the pundits are insulting Islam, making you feel angry, listen to international radio and read news from various sources. Also, you can listen to IRIB English Radio and all of our programs.
A lot of times the community becomes disenchanted. And here I'm not talking about Toronto or GTA or Shias. I'm talking about all Muslims, Shia and Sunni around the world. I'm talking of the Muftis and the Sheikhs and the Adlamas and all of them, right? So I'm not personalizing this. And what happens is that when we have spiritual leaders who lack courage, and therefore cannot do the right thing and place things where they rightfully belong, i.e. with justice, it creates a generation of people who lack courage, who will not be able to do the right thing. You see, the people of the Prophet Moses, alayhi salam, were kept as slaves by the Pharaoh for generations. And therefore, even when Musa alayhi salam saved them from slavery and freed them from those shackles, mentally they were still slaves. They were not free people. So when he crossed the river with them and he brought them to the promised land, and he said to them, enter this land and fight your enemies. Allah has promised you this land. They were not able to. They just didn't have the courage. They said, فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَائِدُونَ. Oh Moses, go you and your Lord fight. We are sitting here. When you're done, call us. We'll come. To this, Allah punishes them. Outwardly, it's a punishment. He says to them, قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْعَرْضِ. Their punishment now shall be that this promised land will be forbidden to them for 40 years. They shall wander in the desert. Why was this punishment put in place? It was put in place because a whole generation had to pass away, possibly two generations. By wandering in the desert for 40 years, those individuals who had lived all their lives as slaves and their children, they all began to pass away and die in the desert. And a new generation was born in the desert that was hardy and that was ready to go out and fight. So outwardly it was a punishment, but inwardly it was a blessing, it was a preparation, it was necessary because mentally they could not free themselves from that.
Dear brothers and sisters, what you had listened to was today's special from IRIB English Radio. That's all for today's episode. Inshallah, we'll meet you in another day. Same time, same channel. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode. Fi amanillah.
Some might say this world today is short. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, and He's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands suffer so, and give no helping hand, no helping hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise? Reaching out to the heart that's in you and I. In every tear that is where he is there. In every tear
for thought.
Hello everyone, let us reflect on an aphorism worth pondering upon from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He who gallops with loose rein collides with death. Thank you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the things that we should understand regarding the oppressed, those who are wronged, is that sometimes the oppressor feels and thinks that this person or this group of people or these individuals have no helper, have no assistance. But unfortunately, what is also, you know, yes, it is easy to say, but it's difficult to actually come to that realization, that those who are oppressed are looking for support from something that is similar to them, from other people, from other, you know, human beings. When in fact they have a infinite and all-powerful and all-observing and all-kind, you know, Lord who is waiting for them to call upon Him. And this is again a different discussion. But in this tradition that we would like to mention from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today, it is regarding that the plea or the cry or, you know, just that sadness that comes over a person, you know, looking for assistance, trying to find it. You know, there is a direct link between that person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very clear from this tradition of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even if that person does not know it, he is seeking the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tradition says that, again, talking to us, that we should not oppress people. Because if we oppress people, we will see that, you know, we will be an instant and a referent of this tradition. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that be on your guard against the plea, or if you want to translate it as the cry, of one who has been wronged. So if I, for example, wronged somebody, then obviously I need to be on my guard against the plea and the cry of this person. And the Holy Prophet continues that even if this person is a disbeliever, he does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he has been wronged, he has been oppressed, he is seeking an assistant, but obviously he cannot find one. Or he does not know where to turn to. He might call out certain names, he might say certain things, but in fact he is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily there is no veil preventing the plea from being answered. For we know that in certain circumstances, one of the reasons why dua and supplication is not answered is because we ourselves have placed certain veils between us and the answer. There are many different explanations to what those veils actually are. But in this instance, there is no veil that the answer will go directly. The call will be answered directly. So therefore, be on your guard. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to be of those who are on the receiving end of such a plea and a cry. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all the oppressed, wherever they may be throughout the world, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I'm your host Mahdi and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu Alaikum, brother.
Wa Alaikum Assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu Alaikum to you, all the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be with you.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous reciter. And after it, Brother Muhammad will analyze and talk about that recitation. And beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic segments which will be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Brother Hassan Rezaian. He is an Iranian Qari who was born in Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, in 1955, and he has a BA in Quranic Sciences. It's interesting that Brother Hassan Rezaian, just like many other prominent reciters, started Quran recitation when he was a teenager, you know, at the age of 12, and his father, who was also a Quran reciter, encouraged him and taught him. At first, he followed the style of Sheikh Abdul Basit, and even right now, his recitations are influenced by the recitations of Sheikh Abdul Basit. He ranked first in Islamic Republic of Iran's 26th International Quran Competition in 1989. He has traveled to many Muslim and non-Muslim countries, such as England, Australia, South Korea, Japan, Canada, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, India, Pakistan, and many other countries to preach and recite the verses of the Noble Quran. He has also been a jury member of many Quran competitions. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Ghafir, verses 1 to 3, recited by Brother Hassan Rezaian. Let's enjoy it. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, welcome back to the program Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was recitation of Surah Ghafir, verses 1 to 3, recited by Brother Hassan Rezaian. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, Brother Hassan Rezaian, like you said, he is influenced by the style of Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad. But in this recitation and in his recent recitations, it appears that he's reciting with the voice and the level of register which is used by Abdul Basit,
we hear a very high register, which sounds like the voice of Abdul Basit. But actually, the style of recitation is more similar to Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar. Mm-hmm. So he's using the voice of the register used by Abdul Basit, the high register, it's a very high register, but the style and manner of recitation is a lot more close to the style of recitation of Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar. And it's very beautiful. And it's like a combination of two
These
styles.
Two
yes.
Great reciters.
Yes. At the beginning of this verse, we have حروف المقطع. Okay, which means the separated letters.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, what you're supposed to do is that you have to pronounce the names of these letters. We have ha. Okay?
Yes.
So we have to say ha. Then we have meem. Okay, so
yes.
We pronounce the name of the letter.
Each letter.
But, you know, sometimes there are certain rules of tajweed that you have to observe while pronouncing
the names of these letters,
while reciting the huruf al-muqatta'a. For example, here we have matul lazim.
Meem.
Why? Because the name of this letter consists of three letters, and the second letter is a ya'ul med. The second meme, which is the third letter of this name, is also sakin.
Mm-hmm.
It's sakin, actually. Okay. And as we've said before, one of the means or causes of matul lazim is sukun. Okay. So
mm-hmm.
because of this, we have to lengthen the long vowel of meem, the ya'ul med, to six vowel counts. Just like how Brother Hassan Rezaian read this verse. Tanzeel. We have ikhfa of nun sakina in this word. We have a nun sakina, okay, which is followed by one of the letters of ikhfa.
The ma baqi letters.
The ma baqi are the letters that remain, okay, other than the letters of idgham,
yarmalun,
ilhar, the letters of the throat.
Yeah.
We have six letters. Hamza, ha, ha, kha, ayn, and ghain. These
mm-hmm.
six letters. And also the one letter of iqlab.
That is ba.
The rest of the letters are letters of ikhfa. And you have to apply ikhfa to the nun sakina whenever one of these letters
comes after nun sakina.
And you have to approximate the place of articulation of zay. And at the same time, you have to make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. Tanzeelul kitab. Tanzeelu. As you can see.
Tanzeelu.
Yes. And these three stages take place at the same time. We don't pronounce noon. This is the first stage. You get rid of the place of articulation of noon. The second stage is that you have to approximate the place of articulation of the letter after the nun sakina. The third stage is the ghunna. But you have to keep in mind that these three stages
are simultaneous.
Yes, you have to apply them simultaneously. Okay, then we have the third verse. We have ghafir. Ghafiridhanb. So, what is it? We have a letter of isti'la in the word ghafir. The ghain is, it has an aliful mad.
Yes.
Okay, so and it's a letter of isti'la.
Yeah.
We have the highest
level
of tafkhim.
And
in order to actually apply the highest level of tafkhim, you have to open the mouth
vertically
when pronouncing ghain, along with raising the root of the tongue. Then we have a ra, which is muraqqaq, because it has a kasra. You have to pronounce it thinly.
Yeah, with
ghafiridhanb.
Ri.
We don't say ghafiri. It's almost impossible to do that.
That's difficult.
Yes. Adhanb. We have iqlab of nun sakina. Inqilab takes place whenever you have a ba' after nun sakina.
Yes.
Or tanween. Okay.
A ba' after tanween
or nun sakina. So what happens is that the nun sakina turns into a meem sakina that is pronounced with
ikhfa,
with concealment of the meem sakina. While pronouncing the meem sakina, we don't close the mouth completely, okay? And instead, we allow the mouth to be slightly open, okay? It should be a very small gap between the lips. Okay. The sound should be different from a meem sakina that does not have ikhfa. If you say themb,
it shouldn't be completely nasalized.
Yes, it shouldn't be completely nasalized. It's partially nasalized because the sound is still coming out from the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Somehow.
Yes. Qabil. Again, we have a letter of isti'la with the highest level of tafkhim due to the alif ulma.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The Ocean of Dua. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrak wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsak wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbak wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak. Allahumma inni as'aluka su'al khadi'in mutadallilin khashi' an tusamihani wa tarhamani wa taj'alani biqismika radiyan qani'a.
Previously, we started talking about the part of
Kumail's supplication, where Imam Ali alayhi salam starts saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala khadi'in mutadallilin khashi'a. O Allah, I verily ask you with the asking of a submissive, abased and lowly man, and tusamihani wa tarhamani, to show me forbearance and to have mercy on me, wa taj'alani biqismika radiyan qani'a, and to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment, wa fi jami'i al-ahwali mutawadi'a, and to make me humble in every state. In this regard, Imam Ali alayhi salam is humbly asking the Almighty Allah for requests, and he should hope that his humbleness, his submission, would bring this supplication to the answer, to compliance of the Almighty Allah. The first of these requests is Allah's forbearance towards him. And previously we have concluded that gaining Almighty Allah's forbearance is not possible but just through lenity to the servants of the Almighty Allah. And so is the same with the other supplications. If we want Almighty Allah to have mercy on us, we must show some forgiveness in this world. If we want Almighty Allah to make us satisfied with His apportionment, we must try and take some steps towards Him. And among them, lenience to other people in this world is so important. إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَمْ يُوضَعْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has said, lenience is not placed in anything except that adorns it. This means that lenience is the thing that makes everything so beautiful. وَلَا نُزِعَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. And if lenience is removed from anything, it aggravates it. And this is so beautiful, because in other traditions, the Holy Prophet suggests, لَوْ كَانَ الرِّفْقُ خَلْقًا. If people's lenience was discernible, مَا كَانَ مِمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ شَيْءٌ أَحْسَنُ مِنْهُ. It was more beautiful than any of Almighty Allah's creatures.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme, and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom, and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. O Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
This lenience, this lenity shown in some, from some people, is not just because they do not think of what is going to happen to them. It is exactly vice versa. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam says, ثَمَرَةُ الْعَقْلِ مُدَارَةُ النَّاسِ. This lenience with people is the fruit of wisdom. And the secret beyond that is very simple. If we want Almighty Allah to show forbearance on us, we must also be like Him in some aspects. And that is why it has been accounted as one of the best deeds in this world. مُدَارَاتُ الرَّجُلِ مِنْ أَفْضَلِ الْأَعْمَالِ, the Holy Prophet says. And in some traditions, the Messenger of Allah explicitly says that the lenience of Allah to His servants is the very result of the servants' lenience with other people. The Holy Prophet ﷺ says, اسمح يسمح لك. If you want to get subjected to lenience of the Almighty Allah, you have to be lenient with people. And as I said, we have to try to be like the Almighty Allah, and lenience and mercy are the attributes of the Almighty Allah. تخلقوا بأخلاق الله, the Holy Prophet says. Imitate the attributes of the Almighty Allah. And this is the true meaning of being an absolute servant. Because behaving leniently with people will benefit us from their brotherhood. And being kind to them is going to eliminate the hatred against the people. So it is worthy for people to be adorned with Almighty Allah's attributes so that they would be prosperous in the two worlds, inshallah. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jalad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. This program, Islamic Laws, we're going to talk about some of the laws related to the Muslims living in the West or in non-Islamic countries, according to Ayatollah Sistani. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography, and we'll be back.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ashraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in Fiqh and Usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Javid, we are talking about the laws according to Ayatollah Sistani and his jurisprudence. You know, about those people, those Muslims living in the West. I'm going to ask you this question. If an immigrant fears the loss of his or her faith,
yes,
or the loss of faith for their children,
good.
All right. Is it unlawful, Islamically speaking, lawfully speaking, for him or her to stay in that non-Muslim country, or they should migrate to a Muslim?